Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research. Today, I am joined by Dr. Ruby Lathan, who healed herself of cancer using a natural approach, primarily a plant-based diet, and also deepening her faith with God. Ruby, thanks for coming on the podcast. I'm super excited to learn more about your journey with healing cancer.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
So you were diagnosed with thyroid cancer, right?
Correct.
And this was what year?
2007.
And yeah. What turned you on to a plant-based diet? And you chose, tell us a little bit about that, because you decided not to go with surgery.
Yeah.
Did you do any chemo, radiation?
No, so for thyroid cancer, the only treatment is to remove the thyroid, or to, you know, ablate it with radiation and basically kill the thyroid. So option I was given just was to remove it. And then you're, you know, on the medication for the remainder of your life. And that's what caused me pause, because I just had a very visceral reaction to having to rely on a medication forever. And so that's what made me start searching. I was like, there's got to be another way. I've heard of people, you know, who've done this before, you know, just in passing. And so I know in the back of my mind, I'm like, this is possible. You can heal yourself. So I decided, let me figure it out. Let me go read. Let me study it and see what people have done. Because I know I'm not the first to heal cancer. And that's what I started just researching, and saw a lot of evidence about plant-based diets and why and how they work. I was already primarily mostly vegetarian. So going completely plant-based, it still, even for me, seemed a little extreme. But at the time, you know, this is like, I can't, there's so many things that have, you know, eggs and dairy and, you know, things. And it was like that, that's like 80% of the foods I eat, you know? So, but I jumped in with that, and just based on the anecdotal evidence, the scientific journal papers, all of that, I said, you know, what do I have to lose? I'm going to jump in and do that.
So were you... It obviously hadn't metastasized then, right? So it was an early stage,
right,
when you found it, like stage one.
Right.
Stage two.
It was, so in 2007, they didn't stage it. They just said yes or no and the size of the nodules. And so it was about a centimeter, 1.4 centimeters. And it was seeming to, you know, remain constant. I mean, I was monitoring via ultrasounds throughout the year that I did this, just to put myself at ease and make sure that it wasn't metastasizing.
I love that mindset of like, look, I don't really want to be on medication the rest of my life, so let me try and find an alternative solution, right? And that
exactly.
is, and it is actually way more common than people think and know about, because a lot of people's stories don't get shared like yours, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And or they don't get shared very wide. Like we've, in my docuseries and summits over the past, you know, 12 years or so, 11, 10, mm-hmm. 11, 12 years, we've been able to share many people's stories, but that's still a fraction of the thousands of people who have healed cancer using natural approaches, right? And alternative approaches, unconventional approaches, diet, lifestyle changes, you know, prayer, meditation,
mm-hmm.
you know, a holistic approach. And so most people don't, you know, most doctors today still, if you tell them this or they hear it, they're
right.
Don't believe
they don't,
it. Or
they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't believe it, or they think it's a spontaneous remission, right? Which, like, it's not spontaneous when it's intentional. I call it intentional remission, because you intentionally changed your diet
and
lifestyle.
Exactly.
Right. So it wasn't spontaneous. It was a natural healing, because that's what our body does. You give it the right environment and it will heal itself.
Exactly. And it's amazing how many of them don't want to know what you did in detail. I was like, as a health practitioner, I just want to hear somebody's story. Like, okay, what did you do? Give me the rundown. And and I work with lots of people now, and the docs are, they're like, okay, and just keep it moving. It's like, where is the curiosity to like, maybe this does work. Something is working for somebody, So, but yeah, it was that just like I said, I just knew it was possible. My gut reaction was so strong not to do the surgery and to do something else that I just couldn't ignore it. It was like yelling at me, like, let's not do this.
And it was, I read 14 months by the time basically you were cancer free.
So it was a definite journey, because I tried, a lot of different things. I was starting from scratch, and putting my own plan together. So I feel like the first half of it, or the first 6 months, I was really focusing a lot on, changing the diet, but trying to figure out why I got this. Like, what was it? It was an environmental. What did I do? So once I felt like I had a potential answer with that, I shifted the focus to just healing and just focus on that. We think we've got our solution, because I'm like, well, I want to know what I did so I don't do it again, and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of anxiety when you get a cancer diagnosis that happens. And there was a lot of anxiety about doing this natural method, because no health professional, except maybe a few, were in agreement with me. So I was kind of on my own there. I did have like a naturopathic doctor who was helping me throughout the process. So that helped to have at least one person who didn't think I was nuts.
Right.
And so that it so the shift on the second half was so much better, when I wasn't focusing on, why I got this and this better work and I hope it works, too. It's okay. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to give myself time. And if it's still there at the end, I'll reconsider the surgery if I cannot get rid of it myself. So then that just kind of took the pressure off. It also is when I switched doctors who were monitoring the ultrasound to another doctor who was a lot less negative, because I was, it was just, it's very disheartening to go in just to get a checkup and you get this. You're being irresponsible, you're doing it, da, 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 da. And it's like, look, I'm already on a thin ice here. The last thing I need is you, like, discouraging me. So I was like, no, I've got to, doctors work for you. So let me find a new doctor who can, just monitor it, understand what I'm doing, and move on. And so basically, I took charge of the process on the
Yeah.
second half. And that's when I felt like I was healing, as opposed to wondering if I was healing.
That's so powerful, taking back the control back in, the power back into your own control and not giving it away to others, right? To dictate how we think and feel. I think that is really important. On the diet piece, like what specific, why? So you switched to a vegan diet. And what about what you were learning and researching, really encourage you to make that choice, number one? And then number two, can you take us through like a day by day, like here's what you were eating, juicing, drinking, et cetera, like a majority of the time,
Yeah,
from a diet
sure.
perspective, supplements, things like that?
Yeah, sure. Because before, I thought I was eating healthy, but I traveled a lot, so I was eating a lot of packaged food, not a ton of fresh food. And even the day before I went to this treatment center that I went to about 3 weeks after the diagnosis, it's a natural health lifestyle treatment center, and there are a couple of them, but this was in Alabama called Yuchi Pines. And the night before I went, I knew there was going to be like strict diet and juicing. I was eating like Oreos and Doritos, like, this is the last I'm going to get for before I get on this strict diet. So I just say that to say how little understanding I had of true healing and nutrition, because what sense does that make to be eating that way before you're going off to be healed?
I
So,
can tell you as a, and I'm sure you, I mean, you work with patients and clients every day, right? And I've worked with, thousands of people over the years. And as a health and nutrition coach, it's like, every single person I talk to, it's rare you get someone that goes, "Oh, my diet is shit. It's terrible. It's the worst," right? Like, that's the rare person that knows. Majority of people I talk to, they're like, "Oh yeah, I eat healthy." And then we break down and I'm just like, "Okay, I already know." I'm like, "Okay. And so what do you have for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for snacks, for drinks?" And once we see everything on paper and then you explain things to them, they're like, oh yeah, this isn't healthy at all. This is like junk food vegan or junk food plant-based or junk food omnivore or whatever. Like it's almost always super processed, right? Lots of added sugars they're not even aware of. Lots of fillers, preservatives, maltodextrin, gut tearing, inflammatory foods. Like, and people don't even, they're not even aware. They go, "Yeah, I eat pretty healthy." And you break it down.
It's like there's levels to this.
There's levels, right? Like, it probably at least 10 levels. And I would guess most people that I've heard from over the years that says, "Yeah, I eat pretty healthy," they're honestly at like level three. And it's not judgment. It's just, we're not taught this stuff in school, right? And we have
And
to
we're
learn it
trusting,
ourselves. Yeah.
trusting the food system that they're not just making pure garbage, which they
Right.
are, So when so after that, I went for like 3 weeks and like just got like a download of like whew, tons of information. I was like, yeah, I was way off.
This was
So
what retreat was this or what event?
it was Yuchi Pine. So they do like a 18-day program where you can go and stay there, and they just give you a full like protocol for whatever it is you're dealing with. So mine was like the, an anti-cancer protocol. So there's a lot of juicing, no sugars, no, a lot of raw food, things like that. A lot of teas, and then other things like hydrotherapy and massage and hyperbaric chamber. So just like you just get immersed. And even in that short time, you could see results from other people who were there, where things were happening. So I was like, okay, mine is a lot less severe, so I should be like, this should be a 3 month process and I'm one and done. But yeah, so that was the place. It's UCHEE, because like people always ask. So yeah, so after that, I just switched everything. Like I'd stopped using my microwave. I stopped all animal products. No packed food, nothing. It went from like a freezer full of packaged stuff to like a fridge full of green stuff and wheatgrass. So I would start the day with wheatgrass, 2 ounces, and with a little followed by some carrot juice with ginger. And then I would do a couple of different teas like Essiac tea and Partiarco tea that I brewed there. And then I went to garlic. So the only bread I was eating was like Ezekiel bread. And it had, because it's really natural bread and garlic, because I put like 6 or 8 garlic cloves on it with flax oil just to get the garlic in.
Ezekiel, if you're gonna eat bread, that's the almost the only bread that I eat unless I'm traveling or something. I might have, I avoid wheat and gluten as much as possible, but like a little more relaxed when I'm traveling. But at home, the only bread I eat is Ezekiel, right? It's a sprouted, gluten-free sprouted organic bread. And it takes a little
Exactly.
bit to get used to. It's not that
It
fluffy
does.
wheat, high sugary,
Soft.
bread.
Yeah, super
Yeah,
soft.
it's a little bit hard, and people they have it once and go, "Oh, that's terrible. I'm never going to have that again." It's like, yeah, but do you actually care about not getting a cancer diagnosis or helping your body fight cancer or being healthy? It's like once you know what health feels like, right? It's like I'm never going back the other way. So you kind of you're like, okay, yeah, I can have this bread that's not so addictive like all the other bread, and still enjoy
The
it. I can still
other,
enjoy it,
yes.
you know? Yeah.
Right, because the other breads will be, they would be gone in a second. The Ezekiel bread is there, right? It's
Right.
like you really have to kind of want the bread. So it does break the addiction because it doesn't have the processed sugars and things that make you just want to consume it and the empty calories, right? When you eat Ezekiel
Exactly.
bread, you actually get full and you get nutrients and all of that. So
I just want to highlight a couple of things you said because these are so important. There's a ton of research on Essiac tea. A lot of people who've used Essiac tea, it's ESSIAC, Essiac tea in their cancer, healing protocols. It's been around for a very long time. It's an incredible detoxer, right? Cleansing tea, rejuvenating tea. But and there's actually quite a few studies on SEACT and a lot of case studies. People that I've met, heard from, and read their studies over the their own personal stories and case studies over the years of, SEACT being a major contributor to helping them heal from cancer. There's actually a company that sells SEACT that has like a guarantee. You can use their tea for as long as you want, and if you don't get the results you're looking for, they'll give you like
Really? Wow.
complete. They're so confident in it, and it's a
Yeah.
powerful. I would never just do one thing, right? But
Yeah, no, that was definitely a big part of it. Yeah, that was a daily, that was consistent throughout the entire year.
and then
The
the wheatgrass
first
juice that you
things that,
said, 2 ounces every morning, like wheatgrass juice is also one of the most nutritious
yeah.
things you can put in your body. A lot of chlorophyll, a lot of oxygen. We know that cancer can't thrive in a high oxygen environment,
Exactly.
right? So
Yeah.
swapping out that acidity for more alkalinity, putting more oxygen into the body. All these things that you're saying, I just want to kind of highlight them because you're sharing a lot. Each one of these things, you put together in a holistic blueprint as part of, helping yourself fight off cancer. Like each one is very powerful and super important, especially combined together.
Absolutely. And the wheatgrass helps break down the cell walls of cancer so that your body can get to them to heal it, which is another reason. And it also has been said that the potency of it is like equivalent to like 3 to 5 pounds of vegetables. So to make life easier, and because it was so potent, I was like, I'm going to do this instead of, tons and tons of other juices, because the regimen I was on, it just, I didn't want to do that. And so I had a pallet of wheatgrass that I would juice every day with the carrot and ginger a little bit after, just for the palate cleanser, because it does taste like grass.
Yep.
But ginger and carrot is still very good for you also. So
Yep.
that was the morning, the toast with the garlic. And then later is going to be a salad with lots of nuts and seeds and things, sprouts, a lot of sprouts in there. I was also kind of doing a alternative Budwig protocol, where
The normal
the
ones, cottage cheese and
honey and flax oil.
flax, yep.
Yeah, so I started doing that with like almond milk and flax and that kind of thing. Just, it's the sulfur properties of the cottage cheese they're looking for. So it's like, what can you, replace with that? So, and then there would be
You were
like
replacing,
broccoli.
so you were getting some of the sulfur from the almond milk, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and some people use like soy is another one that has some of that as well. So that was just, an option. There were a lot of, so many stories on that protocol. It's like, let's see. I was like, let's see what works. Initially, because I am like was a research engineer, I wanted to do this in stages to see what would work, what worked. But then I was like, I don't have the time to make myself that much of a science experiment. So we're just gonna do it all
Yeah.
and just know we won't know what particular thing, that it was probably just a combination of them all. Yeah, so
It's funny because that, this kind of reductionist scientific mindset that we have in modern society now, it's like and I think it's primarily driven by, a profit mindset from pharmaceutical companies, right? We're looking for that one special solution, that magic blue pill to solve the entire problem. And yet, if you look at the complexity of the human design, right? You look at our biology, our physiology, our anatomy, it's like we have so many systems doing literally thousands of different functions 24/7, all interacting with each other, requiring, a lot of different nutrients and minerals and vitamins and amino acids to produce, 20 amino acids produce 100,000 different kinds of proteins in the body. Right, so we have so much complexity and brilliance in this incredible design that requires, specific inputs to keep it running, and yet somehow we think, oh, it's the magic supplement or the magic wheatgrass or the magic pharmaceutical is going to solve, the entire complexity of this human design,
Right.
and it just doesn't work that way. But somehow we keep. I know in my own life over the years, like, I had acne really bad on my back when I was like 19, 20, and I was really diving deep into holistic health. And so I was like looking for that one magic thing that would get rid of the acne. And then over the course of like a year of trying a whole bunch of different things, then it finally went away. And I realized I just had this big aha. I was like 20 years old, 21 years old maybe. And it was like, yeah, it's never just one thing. It's the combination of all of it. That's why a holistic approach is always going to be, your best approach when we're looking at solving something or creating health, because our body requires a holistic approach, and not just the physical body, but mental, emotional, spiritual, which I'd love to have you talk more about as well. But
Absolutely, because that was a big part of it too. But yeah, so I agree with all of that, and that's why I was like, yeah, we're just gonna do it all and know that it's a combination. There were a couple of different supplements. IP6 was one. A main one, a Vitalzyme was another one, a systemic enzyme, because of the thyroid was also a little enlarged. So I know that's like an inflammatory issue as well. And so the IP6, I was taking it for that reason to help reduce the inflammation and things like that. There was algae water. It was this clear algae water from this company in Arizona. That had a lot of properties, mushroom extracts, seaweed, a lot of things. So I had a regimen so I could get all these in because some had to be on an empty stomach and some with food, and that kind of thing. So it was fairly regimented. And I know throughout that year I ate one bite of cake for over that 14 months. And I was like, that was near the end. I was at the event. I was like, I don't think one bite. It looks so good. So my diet was clean, clean for that entire time. And it wasn't a chore, honestly. I got used to it. I started making it taste better. So like I started making, things that I needed to combine. Like we know we need parsley and chlorophyll, our blood cleansers. So you need nuts for the protein and things. So I would combine the parsley, the garlic. I needed raw garlic with nuts and parsley and lemon juice, all those things I need to eat anyway. But when you combine them in a pate in the food processor, they actually taste good. So I was, doing things like that. Like, how can I make a salad dressing that doesn't have things that, that I don't need, but I need the flax oil or hemp seed oil anyway, so that's oil based. I can mix it with, some avocado or something and make it taste better. So I just started kind of playing around with how to make the healthy food taste a lot better because I'm like, this is something I'm gonna have to continue because it's not like you just get the I'm healed and then go back, So I'm like, if I'm gonna keep going, I have to make it taste good and actually palatable. So that's when I started, coming up with different recipes and things and basically learning how to cook again in a healthy way.
Now, how long? So when you went to that kind of first deep dive, retreat, you said that was pretty much all raw. Now, did you stay on a raw vegan diet, or did you do kind of high raw for that
It
14
was
month
high
period?
raw. Yeah, even there, I think it was high raw. I think I had some cook. But yeah, it was mostly raw. I'd say like 80% was raw. So besides like brown rice, purple rice, I might steam the broccoli, that kind of thing. So yeah, it wasn't 100% raw. And the bread was toasted. So, but it was a very high raw
How
diet.
long were you vegetarian? And like you said in your own words, like not really eating a super healthy vegetarian diet, but how long were you vegetarian before, you were diagnosed, and then before you switched to a much cleaner?
So I was vegetarian. I grew up like from the age of like 10, primarily vegetarian. I mean, I would do some fish. I tried some chicken here and there. I was like, yeah, in college, I tried chicken like other people try crazy things. I tried chicken because I was off on my own.
I'm gonna go wild in college. Guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna try chicken.
So that was it, and then some fish, and I really just didn't like, meat. I tried chewing it, and I was like, it's not my thing. So I stuck with the vegetarian, diet. So it was a lot of dairy though, every day. So, in the diet, dairy and eggs were high, on the list of things I ate on a regular basis.
It's interesting with dairy because, you can find studies on both sides that show it's inflammatory, and you can find studies that show it's not inflammatory. And, the kind of consensus is, well, we don't think it's inflammatory, but we do think it contributes to hormone disruption. We do think it contributes to excess saturated fat in the diet. We do think it contributes, and then all the stuff they put in the dairy, right? And that's in the cow. So I mean, in general, from a health person, and then so many people who are also lactose intolerant, and that's going to create an inflammatory problem if you're drinking milk and you're lactose intolerant. But most people who are lactose intolerant, stop drinking milk because they don't like how they feel, clearly. But it's just interesting because people who reduce or limit dairy, and obviously, and especially someone who's healing cancer, you start reducing animal products or eliminating completely dairy, eggs, all kinds of meat, and increasing all the fresh whole plant foods, and we just see it again and again and again and again. These cancers start to go away or reduce, or the body improves, or diabetes goes away, or heart disease goes away. So, when people claim, oh yeah, all these animal foods are so healthy for you, it's just the junk food that's bad for you. Well, that's not always necessarily, that's I don't think it's totally true, because
With the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I use Maison Beljanski's wellness products. Maison Beljanski's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljanski formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljanski's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljanski has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order four products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljanski.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljanski.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Before we get started, I want to give you a free gift that I have spent over a decade researching thousands of hours of peer-reviewed studies and interviewing hundreds of world-leading functional medical doctors and cancer conquerors that lays out a blueprint for helping your mind and body become a cancer-fighting fortress for natural cancer prevention and healing. And that's my Amazon number one best-selling book, Becoming Cancer-Free. The physical copy sells for like $10 on Amazon, which you can go get that if you want, but I'm happy to give you the ebook absolutely free. Just head over to becomingcancerfree.com and you can download that ebook instantly. Again, that's becomingcancerfree.com, and it's yours as a gift from me to you for tuning into this podcast. All right, let's get to the show. People can then get on a clean animal-based diet, and they feel good for a couple of years. And then I hear these stories where, well, now they had heart disease risk, and now they're, so not only is their cholesterol gone way up, but actually their CAC score is increasing. They're starting to, build plaque in their arteries and things like that. So it's just always amazes me as I
hear stories like yours, because yours is a great one, because you were a vegetarian for a very long time and then diagnosed with cancer and then switched to a very clean, high raw vegan diet and then watch your cancer go away. And you've been cancer free since then. So what's that like? Since would have been 2008, I guess.
So I lost count over 12
So that's a long
years
time.
now.
Yeah, that's over 12,
It's
12, 14
yeah, it's
years.
yeah. Yep, it's been a while. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And the other
No,
thing is with
16. No, that's 16 years. Sorry.
16 years, I lost count. I think I stopped counting at 12, so that number stuck in my head. Yeah. So it's been a while, and I'm still here. And I remember when I first put out, that I was, cancer free and was kind of being more vocal about it. Someone sent me this email and like, "You're so irresponsible. It could come back. You shouldn't be telling people and encouraging people to do this and that." And that was such a blow to me at the time because I was like brand new to like social media and things like that, and just kind of getting, and it just kind of set me back. But I'm like, now look, now is 15 years enough?
Right. And yet those people have no idea what the recurrence rate is for people who do
Who
chemotherapy
do the
radiation,
traditional,
which
yeah,
for certain
stuff.
cancers it's very, very high. Some cancers it's literally 100%. Others it's as low as 10, 13%. Some are 20, 40, 50, 60% recurrence rate. So even if you go, put yourself potentially into bankruptcy and your family, which happens all the time with the medical bills, follow the chemotherapy and radiation, destroy your health through totally completely wiping out your immune system, and don't even kill the cancer stem cells, because chemotherapy and radiation don't kill cancer stem cells. It's very clear, right? So you do all the things right, and then you get to ring
Two
the
years
bell at the
later.
end, right? You get to ring the bell and say, "I'm cancer free," and then 5 years later, the metastasized spread throughout the body. It's,
And it's
stage four,
worse.
and they tell you, "Go
And
home. There's nothing we can do for
worse
you."
because
And it's
I
worse. It
agree.
came back with a vengeance. Exactly. Happens
Because
all the time.
now you're compromised. It's like it's almost a formula to make cancer come back. It's like, let's fill your body with radiation and break down your immune system with chemotherapy to the very brink of death. We'll give you enough to keep you alive, not kill you, and then say the cancer's gone and you come back, but we give you no information how to rebuild your immune system, how to repopulate your gut health, how to eat, not to introduce more free radicals into your body. We actually tell you, you can eat whatever you want now, go do whatever you want. We don't even say no alcohol, no, just live your life. Do exactly what you were before, but now with the compromised immune system, and now with cancer cells that know how to maneuver in the body even more. It's like that would be the prescription for cancer, not curing it. And that's what we see. And that's why the recurrence is so high. I was like, at least if they did all these poisons and said, now, here's some dietary guidelines, something, they would have a fighting chance,
Exactly. And that's the hope, right? Is that the medical establishment actually starts focusing on prevention and training doctors on diet and lifestyle changes. And it's happening little by little with functional medicine. Functional medicine is starting to get more and more into mainstream medicine, but it's still such a small part. And the problem is, in a big hospital that gets all of its money from these expensive treatments, they don't want to put time and attention on something that costs nothing, which is educating your patients on exactly what you're talking about. Well, let's do 2 ounces of wheatgrass in the morning. Let's drink Essiac tea twice a day. Let's make sure you're doing, fresh green vegetable juice every day with carrots and ginger and adding garlic, da, 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 right? All these things that, the doctors could coach patients through. It's not the doctor's fault, technically. I mean, this is what they're trained in medical school. Right, and they're literally told natural medicine has no science behind it, and yet this is what a med school student talk about people who say things that are like, what you're doing is so irresponsible. Of course, I reach millions and millions of people with our documentary series and summits and stuff on cancer, and so of course we get comments from people, and I don't, it's like I don't even go and read them, but somehow I saw this one from this one med school student. She goes, "What you're doing is irresponsible. You're killing people. I'm going to turn you into whoever
whoever you're going to turn me into, and whatever
Like I've
organizing
gotten one of those
body
too.
that's going to come after me, whatever,
Like,
right?
who's my boss?
Right?
Yeah.
And she goes, they teach us in medical, they're teaching us right now that natural medicine is a hoax. There's no science that supports it. And I'm just like, what? Your professors are telling you in medical school still today, we know it's been going on for decades, but still today in certain medical schools, you're being told that there's no science that supports natural medicine. Are you kidding me? I myself have looked at thousands of papers, let alone my colleague and friend Sayerji, who started Green Med Info, which has aggregated 70,000 peer-reviewed papers that are on all the major published journals on natural medicine for every disease on the planet, right? There's over 70,000 that he's put together through his website that you can go and look up by, whether it's heart disease or cancer, or pancreatic or this or that, you know, and whether it's blueberries or it's wheatgrass or you name it, SEACT. It's like tens of thousands that we
so
know
many.
Of. And they're being told there's no science to support natural
that's
medicine.
Like, it's like criminal.
It
Not
is,
to mention, a lot of the medications that they come up with are derivatives of natural remedies in nature that they then synthesize, but using the same ideology of that natural medicine. So it's like, what are you even talking about? This is, you're drawing from natural medicine to come up with the fake medicine, you know?
Right, exactly. And then patent it and then put a bunch of other chemicals with it that causes all kinds of side effects.
Side effects. It
doesn't
insane.
Actually get to the root cause of the issue in the first place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then for me, kind of just going even back to the dairy issue, when I really learned more about the dairy industry, it didn't make sense to me that the way that we manufacture milk, you know, because you grow up thinking cows just produce milk. I mean, but they don't. We know they have to be pregnant. And it's like, of course I knew that, but I didn't know that. You know what I mean? It didn't like occur to me that, oh, we're keeping cows perpetually pregnant to produce milk. And not only are we doing that, we're doing it in a very abhorrent way to keep them pregnant, artificial insemination. And we're also taking the milk that would actually literally go to the babies and then giving the babies a powdered form of something else, which makes no sense. I was like, that tells me we weren't naturally meant to just drink milk. It wouldn't be that hard to get it if it were something that we needed as a primary element of our diet, that we would have to go through these extreme gross maneuvers to get it and then literally take away the milk from the actual babies and do all the crazy things that we do in agriculture. When you start doing the deep dive, it's very seedy and crazy that what we're doing to get milk, you know?
It's sickening, actually. And to your point, I mean, taking away the milk from the baby, and then a lot of these babies are then sold and killed for meat, and we call it veal. Like
veal,
it's this
right.
Fancy thing. Oh,
right.
Veal,
I was
right?
Like, when
literally
people
a
talk
baby
about
cow
veal,
that you just stripped away from your mother and then killed it and you sell it, and oh, that's so special, right? As you're eating this baby cow. But, you know, like, think of a woman, a human woman, right? Who, like, and then you're just impregnating her, keeping her pregnant all the time so you can just keep taking her milk and selling her milk.
Right.
That's what
and
we're doing with the cows.
Right.
And then
their
they shorten the
lifespan. Goes from 20
yep.
to 5 years. It's insane.
Yeah, lifespan shortens by like 400%, right? They're constantly being milked. They're constantly, you know, inflamed. They're constantly under tremendous stress. And we just treat them like they're nothing. And yet, you know, you have your dog or your cat in your house and they have a nice place to sleep. You feed them a couple times a day. You take them for walks. You treat them with love. And then yet we have this cognitive dissonance. They go, oh, this cow over here, which cows and pigs have been shown to be unbelievably intelligent, right?
Right, right.
Potentially even more intelligent than dogs. So they
right.
have intelligence. They have kindness. They have compassion. They have love. They have all the same things. And yet we go, oh, it's okay to, you know, mutilate and rape and impregnate and strip the milk from these animals every single day and take their babies and kill them and slaughter them and sell them as some special baby animal meat, right? So that we can put something into our bodies that we don't even need. We don't need milk from these animals. It's not something that our bodies need at all. We stop drinking milk when we're 2 or 3 years old.
Hence the lactose intolerance. It's like, there are literally 20 types of plant milks on the market, but we're going to stick with this one that's destroying the environment and just creating animal cruelty, like just in mass. It's like, it's the insanity of it. And not to mention, you know, you can just take that back to the workers and the domestic violence associated with factory workers who kill these animals and treat these animals the way that the levels of domestic violence are much higher in those particular fields of work. So it's like, none of that can be good for your body. A stressed out cow in captivity, being, you know, abused day in and day out. And then we're like, yeah, give me some of that, because I can't stand to make ice cream out of coconut or almonds or cashews or anything else other than this cow's milk. It makes no sense.
And that's what it is, right? It's all about education. Like, I grew up on meat and potatoes and fast food and lots of milk and dairy in Bozeman, Montana, you know, until I was 18. And so it's like, I thought that's what I needed to survive. That's what I was told, right? Milk is good for your bones, strong for your bones, right? Like, meat, that's makes you strong, makes you a man. You know, you need eggs, you need all these things. And then, you know, started deep diving into health and research, and, you know, I've been 100% plant-based for over 14 years now, and stronger, healthier, you know, better, feel better than I've ever been in my entire life. And I just keep getting better year over year over year. And, you know, and I'm like one example literally of millions of people who are thriving. Now, I do know a lot of people who switch to a vegetarian or plant-based diet, and they don't know these principles that we're talking about, right? Eat more whole foods, real foods, less processed foods, less processed sugars, a good diversity of foods, make sure you're getting enough legumes, make sure you're getting enough high protein rich, you know, foods, eat organic as much as possible. Like, a lot of people struggle on a plant-based diet because they're not eating close to nature. But it's true on an omnivore diet too. Look at disease risks. Look at disease rates. Like, we're almost at 50% of cancer rates here in the U.S., which is insane. 100 years ago, it was like 0.05%. Now it's almost 50%, you know? And so you can struggle on any diet, but you need to know core principles of, but it's also, it's not just like knowing this stuff, right? Like, maybe you can talk a little bit about this. It's having a deep impetus for change. You know, and a lot of people, that's getting sick. For me, it was being really sick as I was young and basically dying and unhealthy and, you know, depressed. And it was like, I knew what it was like to be very, very sick and unhealthy. And so I wanted to know what it was like to be healthy and to thrive. I think people have gotten used to this kind of middle ground of like, they don't feel great, but they're not diagnosed with cancer yet, right? They don't have a ton of energy, but they can get through their day. They have stomach issues, but they take antacids and other things to kind of like water it down, right? They're like in this like lethargic middle zone of suboptimal health and have just kind of gotten used to it.
Accepted it. Yeah, that this is it.
And then it's like, they write it off as aging. Catalyst. It's like you either need that catalyst to go, oh, now I feel really terrible, I got cancer diagnosed or whatever, to change, or need to wake up and go, look, if I keep going this direction, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I need to change now so that I can actually feel amazing and avoid a cancer diagnosis.
Right. Exactly. And a lot of it is the suppression of information and education. It's, these food industries have run amok, and it's so angering that they get to push this fake food to us and make it cheaper than the healthy food. And so when we talk about this, it's like, yeah, a lot of people didn't know, just like I didn't know that this is what's going on. It, you know, the turkey situation just a few weeks ago was like insane, what was happening at the plant. I'm sure it's happening at many others, but I'm like,
why did you, that's you, just, you had to bring that up, didn't you? I was literally thinking about that 5 minutes ago. I was trying to erase it out of my mind. The dude that was like, sexually like raping the turkey. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Both alive and dead. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is happening? Like,
and it's quite disgusting, you know, but I was like, Okay, now that we're here on this discussing topic, let's peel the layer back a little bit and look at whose job it is to get the semen from the male's turkeys. That, you know how they do that? They masturbate them. So it's not, when you look at how disgusting it is, you see how he could maybe make that leap a little bit, you know, when you're already doing unnatural and gross things as part of your job to artificially inseminate the turkeys because now they're too big to even have regular, you know, interaction to create more turkeys because they've bred them to be too big that they can't even do it naturally if they wanted to. So now we have this disgusting way. This is somebody's job. So I'm like, let's go ahead and look at all the layers and look how disgusting we have made the animal agricultural, you know, animal agricultural, the industry. I mean, it's unseemly. It's disgusting. So it's like, yes, that is disgusting, but let's take it another step and say, why is it legal to do that to the male turkeys as a way to keep this thing going? This is all gross. It's disgusting. When I realized that people were doing this, I mean, I was just, I it was unbelievable to me until I just like, this is natural in animals, some animal agriculture. It's insane.
That is pretty disgusting. Actually, I didn't even realize that it's called forced masturbation for turkeys, right? Where they literally force masturbate male turkeys using their hands to collect semen by masturbating the anal area until the phallus is erect. That is so disgusting. I'm
Isn't
just
it?
pull, I'm
I
just
was
pulling up
like,
an art I'm pulling up an article for those who are watching. This is from
yeah,
PETA.
maybe not believe it. But when I read it, I was like, sick, sick, sick. I was like, how is this legal? How is this not just bestiality? How is this like, how is this allowed?
Well, and it's like you said, this is one piece of the whole picture, right? Because this is like these animals are so abused, so mutilated, right? Beaks cut off. I've known this for years. They're treated terribly. Even if you say, oh, well, I'm getting cage-free eggs or cage-free this or that, they're literally like millions in like this. This is called cage-free, by the way, if anyone's looking at this picture. Like, and they get filled with diseases, they get sick. I mean, they'll be walking around other dead chickens and turkeys and stuff in places like this, they're just treated so terribly. They're often fattened up with GMO corn, GMO soy, just foods that are unnatural for them. It is
And
so
even the
awful.
range free, they'll have one little door for like 1,000 turkeys or chickens to try to get out of and into, and it's not range free either. It's like they get around these names to make you feel like. So the industry knows what we want. We want healthy, free-ranging animals that are happy. So instead of doing that, let's just make up names and lie about it and make you think you're getting that, but you're getting these abused animals. It's like, of course, cancer is at 50% because half of these animals have cancer when they're being slaughtered. Because how could they not in these kind of environments?
They're
It,
so
it's quite.
stressed out, right? And so, I mean, that was a big thing for me was, okay, once I learned that I didn't need animal products at all and I could thrive and be healthy, then why would I ever contribute towards the,
Ever, ever.
inhumanity and slaughtering and killing of animals? Like, why would I do that? Once you see, I think it's just a psychological thing. It's like once you see, but so many people don't know that, don't realize that, and don't wouldn't believe it even if you showed them a mountain of evidence because they don't want to believe it that you can thrive without disease, live a long, healthy life with zero animals. And once you realize that from a health perspective, it's like, okay, the compassion starts to kick in. Well, if I know that, then why would I kill these innocent animals? I don't need to eat them. In fact, I can have more compassion for them. And it starts to just kind of shift, our psychology.
And it
And
shows
so,
like yours and others that help educate people like this. This is why. This is what's going on because the industry hides it so well, and it's horrendous.
talking about stress, I mean, animals are under insane amounts of stress. Imagine, right? You're around thousand other animals. You see other animals literally getting slaughtered right in front of you. They're kicked, they're prodded, they're shocked with zappers to move them along, right? even kosher, so-called kosher farms, you know, where oh, the animal experiences the least amount of suffering and pain possible. Those animals experience tremendous amount of suffering and pain. They literally see and hear. You can see videos of them crying, and they hear their other, you know, fellow animals screaming and yelling and crying. And so there is nothing humane about any of it whatsoever. They're under tremendous stress, and then that animal's killed. You know, those all that stress and negative energy is then put into their flesh, and then you're putting that dead flesh into your body, which is then filled with stress. And most people are already under tremendous stress in their own lives, right? So you're adding a stressed animal into your body, but you're already under stress, the bills, the house, the work, the job, the cars, the traffic, right? You're under tremendous stress. And no wonder that cancer and heart disease and, you know, these diseases are exploding, right? Because we know that stress, disconnection from a higher spiritual purpose, chronic, you know, traumatic situations in life all directly contribute towards cancer
They do.
proliferating throughout the body. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that and kind of your experience. You said, or I had read online about you, that you had kind of renewed your faith in God and how that had supported you in your healing. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, well, so just, you know, this is a journey that is not for the weak because you get so much opposition. So I was like, you know, if you have faith, it's now would be the time to use it. I was like, you know, you can't pray these weak prayers. You know, I was like, I didn't pray that if it be your will, heal me. No, I want to be healed. You've already told me it's the will. In the Bible, it says, you know, I wish for you good health and joy and all these things. So I don't have to ask. I'm claiming the promises. I'm not asking in that way. I'm saying this is what I want. I'm gonna have faith and go all in. And the thing about having faith or believing in something, whatever it is you believe in, there's this part of your brain of like, what if it doesn't work and I put all of my belief into it. You're feeling like you're going to get let down or brokenhearted, or your whole belief system's going to crumble, right? So it's like, but that's what the faith is, right? It's like going in not knowing 100% what the outcome is going to be, but going as if. So I really had to lean into that and learn how to get rid of the fear, you know. So I probably tried every modality there is. So, you know, starting with getting anointed with oil at my church, and like I needed to feel covered. And then I started getting into meditation and visualization, and the meditation kind of calmed a lot of the anxiety. Like it was like, because daily you're like, am I doing the right thing? So the meditation every day just calmed it down. It just took it like, okay, I can do this. I'm good. And then the visualization that I started doing after the meditation, so like prayer, meditation, visualization. So, and I had a chi machine, which is a machine that basically helps oxygenate your blood without really introducing free radicals. So you just put your feet on it and it swings it side to side.
It feels
And that,
so amazing. I'm so
yes,
glad you
so you
said chi
have one.
machine.
Okay.
No,
Yeah, I love
I
it.
don't have one. I
Okay.
used one a few
Let's see.
times when I lived in San Diego, and
Yeah,
I'm gonna
it's
look it up
great.
again because I'd love to have one. Yeah, the feeling of that when it stops and you just get like this rush and
Yeah,
tingle
your
throughout
whole
your whole
body's like
body.
relaxed and blood flow is good. It helps with
Yeah.
circulation, but it gets that oxygen in your blood. And the reason the oxygen needs to be in your blood is because that's what cancer cells like, a lack of oxygen. So that's why being very sedentary and things allows cancer to grow more, because you're not getting that oxygen in the blood as you should. And so this is a very simple, easy way to do that. And for people with busy minds who like, I can't meditate, you get the chi machine, there's nothing else you can do. You're flat on your back. So you're not on your phone, you're not this, you know. So it is like the perfect time to just like, okay, there's nothing else I can do. Might as well meditate, and then visualize my healing. And I started reading more books about spontaneous healing. And let's see, it's Dr. Bernie Siegel, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and Andrew Weil, and all these books that were talking about the mind body. So that I started delving into that, because I like the first half was again, very mechanical. I'm doing this, this, and this. The second half of my recovery was more spiritual, like, okay, let's get into the mental piece of this. What do I need to learn from this? What do I need to emotionally stop doing? We physically stopped doing the food and things that weren't good for us and the sugars and all of that. Now, emotionally, what do I need to do to heal? And that's when that a lot came up for me from that. So let me get back to the visualization though. So I would visualize the cancer leaving my body every day when I would do the chi machine. So I felt healed after that because I would just see it going away. I would either see it shrinking until it was gone or just see it exiting my body, exploding and just exiting every, part of my body. So I just felt so healed from that. That's when I was like, I can't even say I have cancer because I just literally saw it go away. So I stopped saying I had it. It was like these things would just like come up that this is how we need to change. The other thing was when I was working with the naturopathic doctor, she was like, where you get sick sometimes gives you an indication of the type of things you might need to evaluate. And your thyroid is enlarged and it has the nodules. And if it grows too large, it could impede your vocal cord. What does that mean to you? And I was like, okay. I'm the middle child. I'm the peacemaker. I'm the seen but not heard. I'm the slip in the back of the room kind of person. I'm the wearing gray and black because I don't want the attention. I am the peacemaker at the expense of my own peace. I don't speak up for myself. I don't defend myself. That's what was happening in my professional life. I was being taken advantage of, with this engineering firm that I'd helped start. I wasn't speaking up. I wasn't speaking out. I was always saying yes to things I wanted to say no to because I just felt I had this obligation because I didn't want to disappoint people. So all of that shifted, and I was like, no more. I said no to everything. I quit everything, not just the job. I quit all the organizations I really didn't want to be in anyway. I was like, I'm going to start from scratch. I quit, and no is my middle name. So, and I just started doing what I wanted to do. I started doing a remodel of a facility that helps people recover from drugs and alcohol. I took on that to remodel a room there. I just started doing what I wanted to do. And I didn't care if I disappointed people because my happiness is most important now. Before, my happiness was never important. It was like I just needed to make everybody else happy. And so I had to just really uncover that layer and delve into that and then not be afraid to be seen and make waves. So, I'm like, I look good in red. I'm gonna wear it more often. I always got compliments when I wore red or purple, and because I wore it so rarely, and I was like, you know what? Let me just delve in. So most of my closet's red now because I'm not afraid to be seen as I was before. I'm not afraid to disappoint people. Sometimes it starts to creep back because it's years and years, and I'm like, nope. Let's renew our vows to ourselves. And it's not wrong to make yourself happy first. It's actually the most important thing because you cannot serve others well when you are fully sacrificed yourself and you're not happy. You can't pour from an empty cup. So I had to relearn some of those things that I was taught that we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves and our happiness and serve others. Yes, we are to serve others, but not at your own expense. And so that kind of spiritual awakening for me was big, and just making those mental shifts.
And did you have, like, I've experimented with a ton of different, emotional healing modalities over the years that have been really powerful, from, hypnotherapy to rapid transformational therapy, MAP, which is an amazing modality, from Colette Stryker. It's called Make Anything Possible. All these different modalities that help get into the subconscious mind and heal these childhood traumas that most of the time we're not even aware of, that are contributing to these subconscious beliefs and actually contributing to chronic inflammation, and oftentimes have created left neuropeptides in the system that are chemoattractants, so they actually attract cancer cells to those tissues, which
Dr. Candace Pert discovered this something like 30 years ago, which was really amazing work, that if we don't heal these emotional traumas and release and let go and forgive and move forward, you know, they're literally inside of us physically,
right,
contributing towards cancer growing in the body. And so did you find any specific modalities that that were really helpful for you?
Tapping helped, you know. That was something that helped, like, release a lot of negative emotions. I still do that. So that was the main way. And then literal therapy helps, you know, like, okay, I need to uncover some of these things. Some somatic release is another one. Doing, you know, poses to actually, and shaking your body to release the trapped energy and things like that. So those are some things that definitely helped, you know, just ranging from deep breathing, but the somatic release has been really helpful. And a lot of these I wasn't even that privy to then, but the tapping was one. But just, you know, over the years, I've added more to that. So I've done more of the somatic release of releasing things, especially, you know, from different areas of your body, biofield tuning. I've done a lot of different things. And the more I've learned about how our reality works, it, you know, it's amazing. There are so many, you know, ways to heal, from sound therapy, you know, resonance therapy, to all of these things. So I've tried so many things since then, because I'm just a consummate learner. I just love to learn, and these things are so interesting to me. And then to me, and then I can also recommend, you know, things to other people as well. But for me at the time, the most of the focus was just the meditation and the visualization and the tapping. But since then, I've added a lot of more different things.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. Right. It's an, that's the thing, right? Like, I'll meet people who are like, yeah, I do a couple of therapy sessions, and they're like, all right, I'm good. It's like, nah.
No, no.
There's a lot more uncovering. There's a lot more unpeeling of the onion we need to do. And it's an ongoing journey. That's the thing.
And sometimes you can regress in certain things, like, oh, I thought I got over this, and now let me go clean this back up. You know, it's not like I healed and I've been perfect ever since. Oh, I have, like, okay, you're eating not so clean anymore. Let's do a cleanse. Let's do a week cleanse. Let me get back on track. So it's not like you just become this angel. It's a constant process. And then you get back to what you know you should be doing. Like, okay, let me clean this up. We kind of fell off the wagon. Let me let this, you know, vegan junk food go. It was great, but let's get back to, let's get back to basics here.
Exactly. And I was just teaching at a retreat in Mexico this last week at the Wanderlust retreat. And one of the things that, you know, one of the audience members said, he's like, yeah, you guys, we were actually, this was like an hour and a half, three-way conversation for a podcast that we did after my presentation. And we were just kind of deep diving into basically the similar topic. And we took questions, and one of the questions was like, yeah, this sounds great. I love everything you guys are saying. I'm inspired to make changes, but it just seems like, you know, this is your, like, you have all the time in the world for this. This is your full-time thing. Like, I don't even know what to do or where to get started. And that's kind of a very common thing. A lot of people think, right, is, oh, well, this is so much work, I'll just never have the time to do it. But the reality is, all of us start somewhere, right, with one thing, and then learn and implement and learn and implement and learn and implement until it becomes a lifestyle. And then it's no longer, it's not something that you, that's like, for me, it's not work. It's not like, oh, I have to go do a sauna. Oh, I have to eat healthy today. Oh, it's like, that's my life, right? It has become a part of my life. Now, it didn't start that way. It started with, well, I'm not drinking dairy anymore. I'm going to start drinking almond milk, right? It starts with one thing. Right. Oh, I'm not going to eat fish anymore. I'm going to start eating more tofu, right? I'm going to start having a vegetable and fruit smoothie first thing in the morning. Like, it's literally one thing at a time as you learn, implement, learn, implement, learn, implement. And the better you feel, and the more you learn, the better you feel, then it all just becomes part of a natural lifestyle that
I couldn't be any other way, even if I wanted to, because I don't want to. It's like, I don't want to go out and eat a bunch of junk food. I don't want to eat a bunch of ice cream. It's like, I just don't crave that stuff anymore, you know? But that takes time. It takes time.
It does take time. And it becomes a lifestyle. Like, you know, I know one of the things that I did do was colonics when I got started with this too. You know, let's clean things out, a series of that. Those kind of things, infrared sauna, you know, so many different things. But it's like now these are like treats. This isn't a chore. This is like, oh, let's go detox. You know, this is a good thing. This is me taking care of myself. You know, I love sitting in an infrared sauna and sweating, and that feels good because I know I'm releasing toxins, and I can use that time mentally to align with myself, you know, and just to slow down. So these are like great things to me now, you know, yoga and Pilates and all those things. These are good things that I know I'm healing my body and I can relax and slow down. You know, it forces you to slow down for an hour, you know, so those things are ongoing. It's just a lifestyle of these are the way that I pamper myself is to do a session, you know, with someone and those kind of things. So it is a lifestyle, and it does. As you just mentioned, it didn't start on day one. I started with, you know, in a different way because I was trying to heal something. So I was willing to like do the drastic thing right off. But even then, it was a process. The beginning of the year and the end of the year looked a whole lot different in this process.
Right. And I think you just hinted at a key takeaway here for anybody who's wanting to implement the things that we're talking about and live a healthier life is that it comes down to having more self-love and self-care, right? Because the more that we practice loving ourselves, the more that we take care of ourselves, the more that these things are things, like you said, it's a treat. You know, I gotta do a sauna, or I'm gonna do a colonic or a detox, this. It's like, you know that that is serving your self-love and your self-care. And you know that when you do those things, you feel better, and then you can be of more service to the people around you as well. And then you feel better, right? And it just creates this positive snowball effect. And it does, it really does come down to like, well, I have to love myself more. Like I have to really learn how to love myself. And for me, like I hated myself when I was younger, you know? I really had to learn, and it was all subconscious. It was just, I had to learn how to actually take care of myself and love myself. And the more that we do that, then the more all these things become easier and easier and easier to do.
Yeah. Like I look at it different, like I need to take a walk, but it's like, I get to take a walk.
Right.
I get to be in nature. There's so many beautiful places where I live to walk to. It's like, not a chore. I would rather be outside than inside. It's like, I get to go for an hour walk, not I have to, you know? And so it's a mindset shift, you know? And it's like, oh, okay, well, I have an hour. Maybe I'll listen to a, you know, audio book or a meditation while I'm walking or something, but, or just listen to what's going on around me. But it's a shift in the way that you think.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Dr. Ruby, it's been awesome having you on the podcast. Thanks for sharing a bit of your story and some of the, you know, amazing things you did to help yourself heal from cancer. And thanks for, you know, being a big proponent of this and sharing it with others. I know you, you know, you have a vegan meal delivery service. We were just talking, you just opened a food truck in Albuquerque, right? You've got stuff going on in Washington. You've got, you do a lot of speaking. I know people can work with you online. So yeah, if people want to connect with you more, like where's the best place for them to get in touch with you?
The best place to start is my primary website, which is rubylathan.com. And all the links are from there. So there's quite a bit from courses to working with me, as you mentioned, and all the other things. And I love the meal delivery service was started because I had clients who were really sick who just like, can you make the food for me instead of the recipes? You know, I give them recipes and then I made videos for the recipes to help them make the recipe. And then the next step was, well, can you just make it? Because I can't. And so for like two clients who are really sick, I started doing it for them. And then I said, you know, I think a lot of people would need this. And then during COVID, we made it into an actual business. So the recipes that we use are things that I would actually recommend for people. So it's organic, it's healthy, it's food that I eat. I don't serve food that I wouldn't serve other, you know, myself first. And so now it's like it's delicious. You don't have to be sick to use it because people who aren't sick take it, but it fits all the it checks all the boxes when I'm telling people this is how you should be eating. It's like here, it's done for you. Now you can just open the container and go for it. So it's just an extension of what people were asking for. So I'm really proud of that. And seeing people actually get better, and people who are doing cleanses use my food as part of their cleansing process and things like that. But actually seeing numbers change because they've been eating this food for like 3 weeks or something. So it's pretty rewarding to have been able to transfer that into an actual service. So I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. Now that's just like Washington area, or you're gonna be
For
like
right now,
wide or
yeah,
whatever.
but I'm definitely working on getting it national.
Nice.
So yeah, it's the Washington, Maryland, Virginia area, Baltimore, DC, and the surrounding areas. So
Cool.
yeah. So it's a wide area.
Well, let me know when you start shipping to Florida. I'll try it out.
Okay, absolutely.
Well, thanks again, Ruby. It's great
All
having you on the
right.
podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This has been excellent, and I just appreciate folks like you for getting this kind of information out to a large group of folks who really need it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. And it's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.